This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome back to the Work Inspired Podcast, Tzvi Broker with Rabbi Yehoshua Gerzi. We'd like to welcome our Torah Anytime and other listeners around the world.
And this is a very special chabur for us. Why? Because it's Leilu Nishmas, Rabbi Yosef Newman, Rabbi Yosef Raphael Ben Chaim, and...
Yeah, it's very, very special. He's a very dear friend and a big supporter of everything that's being done in Pilsno and in Work Inspired and in Bnei Chabura. That's all of the learning and the transformation, Bezus Hashem, that will come from each one of us should bring merit to his holy neshama.
Amen. Amen.
So where we left off last time in our last podcast, we took a daring position that our podcast is not enough and that it's really not enough to just dabble in these topics of parnasa, of money, of wealth, work, career. But really, Hashem wants us to own it. And it's interesting, Rabbi Gerzi, because you know, one of the comments that trickled through was a very good question, and I really had to think about it. And the question was, look, isn't this overwhelming? You know, because Yiddishkeit is big, and we have all these multifaceted areas of our lives, and there's so much we need to learn, there's so much we need to own, there's so much we need to acquire. You know, there's so many chalakim of Torah trying to hold up with learning Gemara and learning Tanakh and Mishnah and Amud Yoimi and Daf Yoimi and Halacha Yoimi and all. It could be overwhelming to think that even this topic is something, that it's not just enough to hear an inspirational podcast about, but really something that requires an in-depth study. And when I was thinking, I think, something we speak about a lot, in the walls of Pilsno, is that it's all about context. And what that means is that it depends really what stage of life you're in. And it really depends on what your experience is. If you're the type of person who is at a point of your life where you're involved with parnasa, you're encountering it every single day, right? And it's something which you struggle with, or something that you want to be able to gain greater clarity with to be able to empower you. I know one of the advertisements that I see sometimes, I myself work as a career coach, as guiding people in career direction, right? So one of the advertisements was that, you're going to spend X, and I forgot what it was, how many thousands of hours over your life working in something. So isn't it worthwhile for you to be able to invest some time into really gaining clarity so that when you're spending those thousands of hours, right, thousands of hours, you're able to experience it differently? And I think it's also true over here. If you're the type of person who you're involved with parnasa, you're in day to day, and therefore it's something which is on your mind, so then this is something that is worthwhile to really delve into. While it could be that if that's not what's going on in your life, or even if you are involved in work, but these questions that are coming up in these podcasts are just things that aren't really on your heart. You feel like it's not bothering you so much. So then perhaps, hearing some inspirational ideas, Parsha ideas, or hearing ideas in the context of this podcast, might be enough. So I really think ultimately, it really depends on context. And what we were trying to share last time, and we're going to continue to speak more just to be able to give greater clarity of what it looks like to be able to own this information, right, is that there is a lot more to learn. And that just like in any other area of Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just give us some tips, and some likutim like we spoke about last time, there's really a lot to unpack.
My turn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take it away.
Something I think which is very important, and I say this with sensitivity, and I say this with a delicateness, if that's a word. Is that a word? Delicateness?
Maybe made it up.
So, it's a very big topic, it's a very big subject, and that is generational needs. That I remember I had this chus when I was a bocher to sit with the Netziv HaShalom.
Wow.
I sat with him a couple of times. And the Netziv HaShalom, the first time I sat with him, spoke about how each generation has its needs. We were speaking about the language of the Netziv HaShalom. And he said, even though it may not naturally be my language of expression, he wrote a sefer was edited in such a way where the ears, the eyes, and the hearts of the beholder could be moved, impacted, and inspired. He had his pulse, he had his finger on the pulse of what the generation needed. our family Rebbe, the Biala Rebbe Shlita, is as well a giant in Torah, not just because he was by, you know, the Ponovitcher Rav and the Chazanish and Rav Dessler and so many other tzaddikim, his Rebbe, Reb Shmuel. So what he is a godel is, as well, is the fact that he understands the needs of the generation. And each generation has its avodah. We know already from the Gra, we know from the Baal Shem Tov, we know from the Ramchal, the Chidah. They tell us each generation has their need. And if I could say like this, this is where it may get a little bit more political, and I'm saying this with a delicateness. And that is, if we look at our generation, I believe there are needs not being met. And people are doing really good. Anything that anybody does, it's amazing. And kol hakavod. However, on a certain respect, I do think things are missing. So Yoshua Gerzi is a person, I see already, I see 50, 60, 70 years ahead. I find it difficult to, now.
A robot's going to take over.
I hope not. It'll be boring. I don't know, let's not go into that now. But what we do see is that we, from the First and Second World War, have transitioned into a culture of abundance. And there's a lot of people speaking about chizuk at work. I don't see so many people, and there are. We already, how many years ago? 8, 9 years ago, we said that what we are speaking about in the office 8, 9 years ago...
Yeah, we said that we're going to see it.
We're going to see it. But Paul, people will be speaking about this, how they'll be speaking about this, but people will be speaking about this. So we see a lot today. There's amazing mashpiyim out there, amazing podcasts, there's good stuff out there. Chas v'shalom, I'm not taking away. I'm not trying to put down. There's amazing things out there. They speak about having emunah at work, chizuk at work, being, you know, alive with Hashem at work. And this is very important. But right now, what I personally see still missing, and these are conversations, again, I'm ahead of the game because of my teachers, especially Rabbi Singer, who transmitted to me the Arba Yisoidus. Oh yeah, of course, you have to excavate these four primary areas: physical and financial health, relationships, the understanding of how the mind works, and as well, guidance and ruchnius, having very clear principles, very clear definitions of each and every of these yesodas.
And this was already years
this
back.
This was close to 18, 19 years ago.
Amazing.
And Rabbi Singer, on that very amazing night, Kapshutai, again, I was like this young, dumb fool who listened to these words and said, oh, come on, Zaidi, they're too simple to be true. Like, come on, everyone knows that. But he laughed at me, an elderly sage, a refined human being, a chochem. He looked at me and he goes, with his twinkling, yeah, okay, you don't know anything, you wait and see. And Tachlis, he challenged me, he says, go and speak to people, and you'll be able to see within a very few minutes what's wrong with a person's life through the prism of the Arba Yisoidus. And over the last, 20 odd years, whatever it is, I've seen thousands of people, probably over 100,000 people by now. And wow, Yoshua Gerzi, the simple one who said that Rabbi Singer was saying simple things. Wow, they were simple, and wow, they were true. So when I sit with somebody, yes, usually it's health or it's finance, or yes, an issue with relationship or with the knowledge that they have, or yes, it's a lack of guidance and ruchnius, connection to Hashem, like literally always. And it's not brain science. So the person that spoke about being overwhelmed, I think a person is usually overwhelmed on a certain respect. Again, there's different stages of life. However, when we place proper attention and focus on the important areas of life, we can hold that which is going on in a far more suitable way. And we look at the world today. And we see very clearly that we don't live the way we lived 150, 160 years ago. There's a First World War, Second World War. You know, I was at a... where was I last night? Last night, I gave a shiur. Last night I gave a shit, and there was somebody there who was speaking about how the Zayda lost their job every single week because they kept Shabbos.
Wow.
Every single week. This is in America. America!
Right, yeah.
Every single week they lost their job. Now, you know, I can go to work today, and if somebody makes even a little remark wearing a couple, you know, looking Jewish, I could sue the pants off them. Like, how dare they say such a thing? Times have changed.
Right, yeah, and it makes sense that, like, that then, if, like, the question was, am I going to have enough food on my table?
Yes.
You know, or even more so, going back, you know, what we are facing as a people, you know, the types of topics that are really being discussed weren't really even relevant.
No,
you know, they weren't. It was a question of what type of job to choose, like, get a job.
Whatever job you... But this is a siman of Geula. This is a siman of Geula. We're getting so close to the year 6000, whatever that means. Whatever that looks like, however that's going to manifest, we're getting so close to something monumental. There's going to be a major shift in our consciousness. And I hope we will be there to live it. As long as we live healthy, we care for our physicality in a healthy way. We hydrate and we sleep properly and we're healthy. As long as we care for our mental health, B'linei de Be'ezras Hashem, we will live long, long, long lives, all being well. We will see it. We will see it. That shift is occurring. Now, what happens with the rhythm and the movement of the passage of time is our Avodah needs to move with it. And in the world of Kabbalah, we've spoken about this before, but we have, for example, Chabad, which is the first triad of Sfirot, Chochma Bina Dat. Then you have Chesed Gevurah Tiferet, which is the next triad of Sfirot. And then you have Netzach Hod Yisod and Malchut. Whatever a person understands of that, the idea, the takeaway is that as we move from time, we move through different expressions, energetic expressions. And our energetic expression right now is to fix up the physical world. That means entering the physical world in a healthy, Torahic way. So for example, yes, people didn't speak about physical health 100 years ago. But it's a chiyuv today. When I sat with Rav Eliashiv, when I sat with so many, the Pashkana Rebbe, when I sat with Rabbi Yosef Libman, Zichron Levracha, was nifta a couple of weeks ago, when I sat with Rav Avadia Yosef, the list is endless, Rav Chuna Halpin, and the Sas Rebbe, Rav Chuna Halpin, I helped him exercise. Yeah. He chapped. You know, other Talmidei Chachamim, other Tzadikim, that I sat with them, and yes, they exercised, or yes, they ate well, the Biala Rebbe, exercising every day. He knew the impact it had on him,
right,
in his Dveikus, in his Yirat Shemaim. So we need as well, in our dor, in our generation, not just to give chizuk, but the chizuk is very important. Anybody that does anything to upgrade the experience of Yiddishkeit is koshev, unbelievable. So more podcasts. We want more podcasts. There's no competition here. More the merrier. More the merrier. We need all of it together, 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 more. To be mechazek the rabbim. And what we are adding here to the table is something, is a very deep dimension that has not yet fully been expressed. We're trying to bring something to the table, and same with the other Arabi siders. We've got the podcasts recorded already some time ago on physical health. It's still a chiddush. I still have not seen anybody else doing what we've done in our podcast for physical health.
Right.
And we can go into the Kabbalah of it, the Seidus of it, but this Nakuda is something incredibly important. We're bridging into our dog.
I think it's so important because I know for so many people, it's, you know, through looking through a certain pair of glasses, it's like, well, how do we view these times that we're living in? And we can feel like it's a challenge in some way for us, and we may not necessarily feel like we're equipped because we don't see that it's been discussed. But what we're hearing over here is that we can really approach these topics and approach these conversations, right, with a sense of excitement of recognizing from an historical context we're moving towards something, and now this is something which has become more of our avoda. It's interesting because, you know, Rebbe was speaking about as we move closer towards Geula. I know in my own exploration of looking through the Mara Makomos, I find on some level I'm going back a couple of thousand years. Meaning, because if we think about it historically, you know, in some aspect, when was it as a nation that we were really in Eretz Yisrael and really even, you know, considering these things, living in a semi-state of calmness. You know, it's, the second Beis HaMikdash was an interesting tkufa, post-second Beis HaMikdash, an interesting tkufa, but there was a certain sensitivity to our relationship to what it means to malacha and work. You know, there's this Chassam Sofer we're not going to go into right now. We speak about it, and the Chassam Sofer speaks about the fact of looking at work differently in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Right,
in Shas and Sukkah. He speaks about it also as well in Parsha Shoftim. And what the idea is recognizing and is that there's something very deep in our ability to be able to connect with being involved in work and finance, you know, and our involvement with Gashmias, right, that we can really connect to. Well, if we're spending our time, which for thousands of years we were just trying to stay alive and make sure that we
fight
can
and flight.
Keep Shabbos, fight and flight, hold on to Torah, make sure that we can, you know, we're able to eat kosher, we're fighting against people that are trying to hound us. These are things that people didn't even think about. So it's on one aspect, it's interesting, it's we're marching towards Geula, and it's becoming something for us to excavate. At the same time, I find it's somehow connecting to a time that was. And the Mara Makomos are there, but because of the experiences that we've had over the last couple of thousand years, they haven't really been focused on. And what we've done really, you know, and this is something which we've, our goal here is in Work Inspired, is to be able to give over a pathway and a curriculum of how to become a work-inspired Jew. That's interesting, a work-inspired Jew. And we're working on the badges. We're working on the badges, right? I am work-inspired. I was thinking about this on my way down. You know, we're talking about the difference between transformation and information, right? So perhaps becoming work-inspired is not enough. So listen to this chiluk that Hashem gave me. One thing is to become inspired about work. That's to listen to this podcast, of course. If you listen to the podcast, I feel inspired, but that's not enough. But to be work-inspired means is that the inspiration is already funneled into your essence of your being, that you are work-inspired. It's something which has already transformed you, and that's really what Hashem wants from us, is that we walk around, and we are inspired people in the workplace, and that, as we mentioned in certain contexts, that inspires other people.
Yes.
Because they see us as a dugma, an example of someone that, wow, this is somebody who gets it.
Gemara Brachas Daf Lev, the four things that need to be
mechazek,
and as well the Gemara and Yuma Pei Vav, that a person looks at us and they say Vahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. A person looks at us in any area of work, but really where we really can shine in being Megala Hakadosh Baruch Hu is at work.
Right, Kiddush Hashem. We spoke about this two podcasts ago. So there's a. But so let's just speak a little bit about how this is done. You know, because, you know, Baruch Hashem, as we've mentioned, we've had the opportunity for many years, but particularly over the last year, if we've opened up our Chabura and been teaching, and Bezos Hashem, we're going to be now launching our next initiative to be able to give access to people that are around the world. Let's just speak about the pathway that we've been giving over of how to become a work-inspired Jew. So it really starts with our relationships with money, finance, and Gashmias. So we mentioned abundance. And the focus on over here is the word relationship, right? Because this is not a textbook, but rather it's a laboratory. You know, and everyone that's had the opportunity to be able to be exposed to more of the full Chabur program understands, right, that it's about getting real and honest with yourself, right? It's not about, okay, another daf, I've learned another snippet, you know, another Ma'aral, you know, another Medrash, but it's about being able to take the information and to see the Ma'amar and Chazal and to process it through our own operating system to be able to come to see what is my relationship with money. So questions, right, that I know I've thought of and from conversations, Rebbe mentioned thousands of people, how do we view our relationship, right, with wealth? Is the idea of becoming wealthy, right, as being a goal, is that a Western idea? Is it a Torah idea? Right? What brings a person happiness? Right? Is it about money? Is it about quality of life? Right? Who is wealthy? Right? If you're happy with your lot, a lot of people don't, they like to quote that, but they may not necessarily feel that. Is that really what the Torah meant? No, is necessarily, and this is something which is for sure along the lines with Rebbe said about context-based, you know, I myself was brought up on stories, and I'm sure you, stories about, you know, the way to come to Dveikus, the way to be the tzaddik, is the one, you know, who ate bread and water, right? Having less, living a minimalistic life is the way to Dveikus, Right? Is that true? Is that something which is an absolute truth in all generations for all people? Right? And how do we make healthy decisions about our finances? Especially for people, you know, who are blessed to be married, to have children. Suddenly new personalities come into, you know, our Dalet Amos, right, into our homes. How do we make healthy decisions? Right, so this is some of the questions, right, that we start off with. Really, the first building block of becoming work-inspired is to really clarify what our relationships are with money, with abundance, and with finance.
I think as well, something which is important to take into consideration. And again, people could be chaylek. We can talk about this. These are things that we need to talk about. We call them in our language, in our Dalet Amos, tension points. So, you know, a person who doesn't have proper guidance, a person who doesn't understand in context this area of life, they can end up very confused. How many people have I spoken to who have these funny ideas? They live with this internal conflict and tension. You know, gashmius and ruchnius, the spiritual and the physical. How do I integrate? Am I meant to integrate? Am I meant to leave work at work and it's one department of life and then, you know, Torah is another department? Is one an ikkah, another is a tofel? And I've sat with so many people and it's something which, as you mentioned, it's very unexplored. Yet, it's all there in front of us.
Right, and it's so relevant.
It's very relevant.
And I think the lack of clarity, I think, drains energy.
I remember it could have been the Biala Rebbe, it could have been another of my teachers, Rav Moshe Schatz. One of them said that if the Arizal lived long enough, he wanted to bring his Torah, this very, very high Torah, all the way down to the human experience, including physical and financial health. And what happened is that he didn't. He died early. So the Nakuda is that we had the Torah of the Gra, the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, and they then moved further in bringing a Torah. The Arizal's Torah is very, very high, but they brought it down that step further. And then throughout the generations, and we see in our generation, everybody is chalashing to heal. So many people are chalashing to heal. You know, the mental health issues that are going on nowadays, it's chronic. And people are taking a stance to heal. And really, our Aveda, on a deeper level, connected to the Aveda of physical and financial health, is our relationships, is our mental health. Right. There's a lot to do here. And it really is unexplored on a certain respect in the world of Torah. And what we're trying to do, kapshutai, we're trying to bring out the reality of what the wisdom of the Torah tells us in a very simple way, to bring it out, to lay it on the table like a Shulchan Aruch,
right,
like a lay it on the table so people can see it, people can connect to it, and then people hopefully can upgrade their life.
100%. That's the focus really over here. Is we're not happy if people learn. It's not like you take a test and you got all the answers right. It's the ability and in creating a system in which people are able to therefore measure their change. So once, we'll just go on, once we built that first foundation, the next step in our work-inspired journey is then to move into what our relationships are with work and career. You know, is work a dirty word? You know, is it a dirty word? And it's a funny thing. I remember the first, when I saw this, it was like, my eyes lit up. Do you know who, believed that work was a dirty word? The Greeks. The Greeks believed that it was beneath a human being to be involved in work. Now, a human being, somebody who stays within sechel, somebody who just philosophizes about things, but to be involved in work, right? So what does the Torah say about this? How do we deal with the fact of a person should love work, a person should love one's job, right? How do we understand that this is a big topic, right? That I think so many people, they just like, it's somewhere in their system, but they haven't really figured it out. Like, what do we do about this idea of the curse of work?
The curse of money.
Right, what is it?
Yesterday we spoke about this, that somebody says, isn't there a Jewish saying that money is the root of all evil? And I said, actually, it's Timothy, as far as I remember. Timothy in the New Testament said that. It's not a Jewish saying, but money is the root of chas v'shalom.
Right, so much confusion around this topic.
Chas v'shalom,
right? What about career satisfaction? Is career satisfaction a Jewish idea or is it a Western idea?
Right? And these are so important to clarify because it filters down into things like, well, how do I make a decision about what job to take?
Correct.
How do I make a decision of how much to invest in my professional training? How do I make a decision about following my passions and following my interests and understanding what I would like to be doing as opposed to just taking a job because, you know, that enables me to be able to just spend more time in learning Torah? That's a very delicate question.
For example, like I'm working with somebody right now, and the question came up, I have the opportunity now to build my financial career, then eventually in a few years from now to earn residual income, and then hopefully it could free up more time. So we went to one of the poskim a few years ago, we went to Rabbi Yosef Lieberman actually, and we spoke this through, and Rabbi Yosef Lieberman said, no, make sure you have a chavrusa and you're learning, but no, you should not give up your potential to become financially free in the future now. So don't come and say, oh no, the most important thing is Torah learning, I should say, in Kollel and learn. No, spend these next few years working on making yourself financially responsible. Make sure you have a seder, because we have to learn Torah. Make sure you have time set during the day to learn. But spend the next four, five years becoming financially responsible.
You know, I love about that story, though, is that like in any situation, right, when you go to a posik, right, there's the question on the table. And then you can have the question, you can look at shoot and get a book, like question, answer. But Rav Lieberman, as you shared in the past, the ability to be able to know how to answer that question is because once you have a deep understanding of the Mara Makomos and you understand what is work, yeah, what is finance, what is Torah, right? We understand what Torah is. How much do we understand what the sugya of work is? Understand what the sugya of finance is. And then once we have all those principles clear, so then we're able to guide. And that's really the goal, is that therefore we're able to gain that clarity, how to be able to make these decisions. Then we move on, once we have those two foundations, right, to the next step, right, is now we're going to approach work, right? How are we able to reframe work challenges? You know, it seems, I'm just sharing, I don't think I'm alone over here, there seems to be this connection between stress and frustration, right, and a certain kvedus, a certain feeling of heaviness related to what's called the ol parnasa, right? We find it in the Torah, ol parnasa, ol. You know, it doesn't sound so fun, you know, the ol of parnasa. But we explore how we're able to reframe those situations that we experience at work, right? Does it have to be bitter, right? Does it have to be stressful? Is it mahadran to be stressed? Is that
like
what
Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be stressed? Yeah,
yeah, because it's work. I mean, of course. How are we able, once we have a proper understanding, when we have those foundations, to then be able to sit down, deal with our work, deal with our finances, deal with our budgeting, deal with our planning, and to be able to approach it from more of a place of menuchas and nefesh, which is obviously connected to the next topic, right? The next topic that we speak about, right, which is bitachon and ishtadlus, right? Big buzzwords, keywords, whatever you want to call it today, cha-ching, everyone's speaking about it. You know, and you know, we're brought up with this idea. Of course, bitachon.
I think one of the major issues that we experience, and you've heard this and I've heard this, is, again, part of our tradition in understanding where we are in our generation. Just take, for example, Devekut, which is clinging to Hashem, thinking about Hashem, or Emunah, faith or frameworks of thinking, or for example, bitachon, which is trust, and hishtadlus, which is, how do you translate hishtadlus? A good translation for hishtadlus.
They call it effort.
But effort. Okay, let's use that for the time being. We have different words, but right now, the common usage of those words. So the point is they're meant to be experiences. It's meant to be an experience. It's meant to be measurable. There's an experience. So for example, when we speak about bitachon, as we've said before, the word bitachon is related to the word in English to feel safe, batuach. And what that translates as within an experience is to have some sort of mastery over your body.
Right.
That your body is calm, which we call menuchas hanefesh. There's a calmness to your nefesh. That if a person, for example, didn't get paid for whatever reason, or if a person is under stress at work, the body's calm. And if a person does have to face some sort of trial and tribulation, I know when to release. I can release. I may feel a tension within me, but then I can... And there's a measurable experiential difference from moving from a place of stress to calm.
Right, yeah, and I think that that's really the missing link. You know, that's why we focus time in the Chabura to really understanding what is the experience of bitachon. What does it actually mean? What does that look like? Not conceptually.
Experientially.
For you, right, what does that mean? What is the relationship between bitachon and hishtadlus? Are they working against each other? I think there's so much confusion out there. You know, how many times have you thought for yourself this question, right, or heard somebody in a Q&A ask this question, how do I balance? Do I do more hishtadlus, less hishtadlus? I don't know how to answer those questions without really understanding what does bitachon mean? What's the experience? What is the experience of hishtadlus? Understanding the deep relationship between them and then being able to answer those questions. That's really what we focused on as we go through this topic. And then to really speak about, you know, we find all these different, you know, ideas brought up about this sort of type of segula and this sort of type of segula, you know, that helps with our parnasa and helps to bring shefa. To be able to understand ultimately how the different segulas, right, that are out there. And once again, so skulas, and we find them in the Maror Makom. It's not at all chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom to be mezalzel, but to deepen your experience of what that means, when it means say berachas hamazon with kavana, and it will help you with your parnasa. Say parsha saman. What does that mean for you experientially? How is that connected to your experience of bitachon? And that's something that we spend time so that therefore people are able to have a measuring stick, because as you said, so that in any given moment you're able for yourself
to check,
to be able to check,
check in,
see where is my bitachon levels, where, and then be able to assess what level of hishtadlus I need to be applying in any given situation. And then what we do is we take all of that and then plug this in, you know, to really what Rebbe mentioned before, you know, the playing ground of anyone who's involved in work, right? Anyone who runs a business, which is where we're interacting with the outside world, right? Whether it be with Jews, whether it be with non-Jews. And what it means to live as a Kiddush Hashem in the 21st century. And such an essential, fundamental sugi that, and topic that we need to understand, right? And what we explore together in the Chabura, right, is to see how really the Torah gives us the guidance on how to be able to be successful in what's lacking today in the workplace, right? We speak about this missing core skills of accountability, right? The missing core skills of being growth-oriented, the missing core skills of being somebody who's mission-driven, collaboration, emotional intelligence, right? Leadership, and seeing how the Torah envisioned us to really be masters of each one of these core skills. So that therefore, each person, when you're involved out there in whatever your field is, whatever interactions you're having, you're able to master, right, being a Kiddush Hashem. And that's ultimately, as Rebbe speaks about, to be able to shine this light, to be able to shine the light of a Gilui of Elokus, right, to be able to radiate, right, of who we are, B'nai Melachim, right, Bat Melachim, right, to be a son, to be able to be a daughter of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be an ambassador. To be an ambassador. That's really what the goal, to be work-inspired, is that we should be ambassadors, thrive in what we do, be successful in what we do, and to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu through it.
I want to read out here a couple of sentences, and I really think it's important. I really think it's important. And that is, the Torah that we have is real. The Torah that we have is relevant. And no one should feel disconnected from Hashem at work. No one should feel disconnected. We should feel connected.
In any job.
No one should feel that what they are doing is unimportant. We should feel, if this is a legitimate halachic Torah way of earning a parnasa, it is important, and it's a revelation of God light in this world. No one should accept the way things are. They shouldn't be discouraged. They shouldn't live unhappy, and they should understand in context stress, or they should not feel unfulfilled.
Right. Some people
It's not what we should be living. It's not how we should be living. We should be engaged. We should be alive. We should be beacons of light and hope in everything and anything that we do.
Yeah, it's so important, that last message you mentioned, because you'll speak with people. I'm sure you know people like this, you know, who they're just, it's part of their life called karma, so they just accept it. Okay. Baruch Hashem, my family is good. Baruch Hashem, my learning Torah is good. My shir is good. Okay, work. I put up with it. No. Like, what am I able to do? And sometimes that's the answer, because sometimes that's the situation and the nesayon, the challenge that Hashem gave us in life. And even that we make into avodas Hashem. We speak about that. Even that we make into avodas Hashem. But I think really the point and the power of what that last thing the Rebbe shared is that we should understand, and we should just be misyayish and give up and think that's not important. The Torah, it didn't really make a difference to Hashem, this part of her life. That we have the ability, right, when we dedicate the time, right, to be able to understand the Mar Makomos, to understand the sources, to be honest with ourselves, to be on the program, right? Being part of the Chabura means to be on the program. It's not about hearing a nice shir. It's about really diving into the Mar Makomos, asking those right questions to see, how do I fall into this? How is this relevant for my life? And then, Bezus Hashem, together, and that's why the way that we've really designed this global Chabura is that as you go through this journey, you're able to go through it both with mentorship, right, being able to have the guidance of Rav Gerzi and myself through live questions and answers, so that as you go through the situation, I learned this Mar Makom today, but I experienced this in the office today, or I had this call with this client today, and then my wife said this, my husband said that, my kid came back. How do I apply that in my life? To be able to take the Mar Makomos, make it relevant to your life through mentorship, and then through support. Because ultimately, we need support. Anyone who's involved in Parnassa, we need support. I know I needed support. I need support. People need support. And to be able to go through this journey of becoming a work-inspired Jew, to be able to acquire this, the gold, right, the gold that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us within these Torahs, and to be able to do it with other people, other Yidden, other people that say, I'm not just going to settle. I'm not just want to get a little bit of inspiration. I want this to change my life, to change my family's life, so that therefore I can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you work together with other people, and therefore we design the Global Chabur in that way, so that people are able to get support each other, accountability, avoidas, then Ezra Hashem, each one of us are able to really experience a transformational change. Amen. Amen. Transformational change, not just up here, but all the way down to how you send that email. When you press click on send, that's really how you know where you are in terms of being work inspired. So Bezus Hashem, a bracha for all of us and for all of you, our listeners and our fans and those people who have been inspired until now. So we invite you to be able to take that next step, not just to dabble in, but to really own the material, Bezus Hashem, with the global chabur that we're going to be bringing out, Bezus Hashem, in the current weeks. Our weekly action point is check out the link, check out the form, fill it out, give us some feedback. Right? We understand, busy, people are busy, everyone's managing. I'm also trying to find the time for this. Wife, Baruch Hashem, kids, work, this Seder. But this is something which is b'nafsheinu. It's something that is so relevant. If it's not, it's not. But if it is, you know that it is. And you should give yourself the gift of the invitation Hashem is giving you to be able to experience the Torah that Hashem gave to us, so that therefore we can live more fulfilled and more happy and experience Simchas Chaim, Menuchas HaNefesh.
Amen, amen. I love listening to you. Baruch Hashem, Shkoich. Bracha, mazel, and hatzlacha to all of us.
Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.